Chapter 1, Introduction to Real Estate and Real Property. The Real Estate Business. There are many specialties in the real estate business. Among them are included brokerage. Brokerage is the business of bringing people together in a real estate transaction. A real estate licensee acts as a point of contact between two or more people in negotiating the sale, purchase, or rental of property. Appraisal. Appraisal is the process of estimating a property's market value based on established methods and the appraiser's professional judgment. Although real estate training will give brokers and sponsoring brokers some understanding of the valuation process, most lenders require that a professional appraisal by a licensed appraiser accompany a loan package. Property management. A property manager is a person or company hired to maintain and manage property on behalf of its owner. By hiring a property manager, the owner is relieved of many day-to-day management tasks, such as finding new tenants, collecting rents, altering or constructing new space for tenants, ordering repairs, and generally maintaining the property. Financing. Financing is the business of providing the funds that make real estate transactions possible. Most transactions are financed by means of mortgage loans or trust deed loans secured by the property. Individuals involved in financing real estate may work in commercial banks, mortgage banking, or mortgage brokerage companies. Subdivision and development. Subdivision is the splitting of a single property into smaller parcels. Development involves the construction of improvements on the land. These improvements may be either on-site or off-site. Home inspection. Licensed and certified home inspectors conduct a thorough visual survey of a property's structure, systems, and site conditions and prepare an analytical report that is valuable to both purchasers and homeowners. Counseling. Counseling involves providing clients with competent, independent advice based on sound professional judgment. A real estate counselor helps clients choose among the various alternatives involved in purchasing, using, or investing in property. Education. Real estate education is available to both practitioners and consumers. Colleges and universities, private schools, and trade organizations all conduct real estate courses and seminars, from the principles of a pre-licensing program to the technical aspects of tax and exchange law. Auctioning. Buying or selling real estate at auction uses an open and competitive bidding process to transfer property. Professional organizations. National Association of Realtors Registered is the largest real estate organization. Its website is www.realtor.org. The NAR sponsors various affiliated organizations that offer professional designations to brokers, managing brokers, and other professionals who complete required courses in areas of special interest. Members subscribe to a code of ethics and are entitled to be known as Realtors Registered or Realtor Associates. You must be a member of NAR to use the term Realtor Registered. The National Association of Real Estate Brokers, whose members are known as Realtists, also adheres to a code of ethics. The NAREB arose out of the early days of the civil rights movement as an association of racial minority real estate brokers, in response to the conditions and abuses that eventually gave rise to fair housing laws. Today, the NAREB remains dedicated to equal housing opportunity. The National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals is the largest minority trade group in the real estate industry. Its mission is to increase the rate of sustainable Hispanic homeownership by empowering real estate professionals that serve the Hispanic community. The Asian Real Estate Association of America is a nonprofit professional trade organization dedicated to promoting sustainable homeownership opportunities in Asian American communities. Types of real property. Just as there are areas of specialization within the real estate industry, there are different types of property in which to specialize. Real estate can be classified as residential, single-family or multifamily housing in urban, suburban, or rural areas. Commercial office space, shopping centers, stores, theaters, hotels, and parking facilities. Industrial warehouses, factories, land in industrial districts, and power plants. Agricultural, farms, timberland, ranches, and orchards. special purpose, churches, schools, cemeteries, and government-held lands. The real estate market supply and demand. The forces of supply and demand in the market determine how prices for goods and services are set. Greater supply means producers need to attract more buyers, so they lower prices. Greater demand means producers can raise their prices because buyers compete for the product. Supply and demand in the real estate market. Two characteristics of real estate govern the way the market reacts to the pressures of supply and demand: uniqueness and immobility. Uniqueness means that no matter how similar two parcels of real estate may appear, they are never exactly alike. Each occupies its own unique geographic location, and two properties are never exactly the same inside. Immobility refers to the fact that property cannot be relocated to satisfy demand where supply is low. Nor do buyers necessarily make relocation decisions based on greater housing supply in a certain locale. For these reasons, real estate markets are local markets. When supply increases and demand remains stable, prices go down. When demand increases and supply remains stable, prices go up. Factors affecting supply: labor force and construction costs. A shortage of skilled labor or building materials or an increase in the cost of materials can decrease the amount of new construction. Government controls. Local governments also can influence supply. Land use controls, building codes, and zoning ordinances help shape the character of a community and control the use of land. Governmental financial policies. The government's monetary policy can have a substantial impact on the real estate market. The Federal Reserve Board establishes a discount rate of interest for the money it lends to its member banks. These interest rates play a significant part in people's ability to buy homes. Governmental agencies, such as the Federal Housing Administration and the Department of Veterans Affairs, also have an impact by insuring or guaranteeing loans. Policies on the taxation of real estate can have both significant and complex effects on the real estate market. Real estate taxation is a necessary source of revenue for local governments. Factors affecting demand. Population shelter is a basic human need, so the demand for housing grows with the population. Although the total population of the country continues to rise, the demand for real estate increases at a faster rate in some areas than in others. Demographics is the study and description of the population. The population of a community is a major factor in determining the quantity and type of housing in that community. Family size, the ratio of adults to children, the ages of children, the number of retirees, family income, lifestyle, and the growing number of single-parent and empty-nester households are all demographic factors that contribute to the amount and type of housing needed. Employment and wage levels. Decisions about whether to buy or rent and how much to spend on housing are closely related to income. When job opportunities are scarce or wage levels low, demand for real estate usually drops. Land, real estate, and real property. Land is defined as the Earth's surface extending downward to the center of the Earth and upward to infinity. Land includes not only the surface of the Earth, but also the underlying soil. Land also refers to objects that are naturally attached to the Earth's surface, such as boulders and plants. Land includes the minerals and substances that lie far below the Earth's surface. It even includes the air above the Earth, all the way up into space. Real estate is defined as land at, above, and below the Earth's surface, plus all things permanently attached to it. The term real estate is similar to the term land, but it means much more. Real estate includes natural land, along with all human-made improvements. An improvement is any artificial addition to land, such as a building or a fence. The term improvement, as used in the real estate industry, refers to any addition to the land. Land also may be improved by streets, utilities, sewers, and other additions that make it suitable for building. Real property is defined as the interests, benefits, and rights that are included in the ownership of land and real estate. Real property includes the surface, subsurface, airspace, any improvements, and the bundle of legal rights, the legal rights of ownership that attach to the ownership of a parcel of real estate. Air rights. The rights to use the space above the earth may be sold or leased independently, provided the rights have not been preempted by law. Air rights can be an important part of real estate, particularly in large cities where air rights over railroads must be purchased to construct office buildings. Now that air travel is common, the courts in the U.S. Congress have put limits on air rights. With the continuing development of solar power, air rights, solar rights, and even view rights are being closely examined by the courts. Air and solar rights are established by laws and ordinances that vary widely from state to state. Ownership of real property. Traditionally, ownership of real property is described as a bundle of legal rights. In other words, a purchaser of real estate actually buys the rights of ownership held by the seller. These rights include the rights of 1. Possession 2. Control 3. Enjoyment 4. Exclusion 5. Disposition. The concept of a bundle of rights comes from Old English law. In the Middle Ages, a seller transferred property by giving the purchaser a handful of earth or a bundle of bound sticks from a tree on the property, symbolizing the whole property. The purchaser, who accepted the bundle in a ceremony, became the owner of the tree producing the sticks and the land to which the tree was attached. Because the rights of ownership can be separated and individually transferred, the sticks became symbolic of those rights. Personal property. Personal property is movable. Items of personal property, also referred to as chattels, include such tangibles as chairs, tables, clothing, money, bonds, and bank accounts. Manufactured housing versus mobile homes. Manufactured housing, now normally permanently attached to a concrete pad or foundation and is taxed as real estate. Mobile homes, designed to be moved. Not permanently attached to the land and are taxed as personal property. Plants. Trees and crops generally fall into one of two classes. 1. Fructus naturales, real estate, trees, perennial shrubbery, and grasses that do not require annual cultivation are considered real estate. They attach to the land. 2. Fructus industriales, emblems or personal property, annually cultivated crops such as wheat, corn, vegetables, and fruit, are generally considered personal property. As long as an annual crop is growing, it will stay with the real property unless other provisions are made in the sales contract. Conversion is the general name for converting real property into personal property or personal property into real property. Severance is the operation whereby real property is converted to personal property. Cutting down a tree and converting it into boards, tearing down a barn and converting it into a stack of boards. Annexation is the operation whereby personal property is converted into real property. For example, a landowner buys cement, stones, and sand, mixes them into concrete, and constructs a sidewalk across her land. This landowner has effectively converted personal property into a real property. Fixtures. A fixture is a personal property that has been so affixed to land or a building that, by law, it becomes part of the real property. Examples of fixtures are heating systems, elevator equipment in high-rise buildings, radiators, kitchen cabinets, attached bookcases, light fixtures, and plumbing fixtures. Almost any item that has been added as a permanent part of a building is considered a fixture. During the course of time, the same materials may be both real and personal property, depending on their use and location. Legal tests of a fixture. The overall test that is used in determining whether an item is a fixture or personal property is a question of intent, in most cases. 1. Method of attachment. How permanent is the method of attachment? Can the item be removed without causing damage to the surrounding property? 2. Adaptation to real estate. Is the item being used as real property or personal property? 3. Agreement between the parties. The most important method of determining a fixture, usually spelled out in the sales contract concerning what goes and what stays. Have the parties agreed in writing on whether the item is real or personal property? What does the contract say? At the time a property is listed, the seller and real estate agent should discuss which items will be included in the sale. Any item that the seller does not want to be included in the sale should be replaced prior to public viewing. The written sales contract between the buyer and the seller should list articles which the buyer and seller agree can be moved and articles which the buyer and seller agree are to remain with the property, to eliminate any doubt as to whether they are personal property or fixtures. Trade fixtures. A trade fixture is defined as personal property of a business owner that, when attached to a rented space or building, remains personal property. Some examples of trade fixtures are bowling alleys, store shelves, bars, and restaurant equipment. Some additional considerations relating to trade fixtures are: 1. Trade fixtures must be removed on or before the last day the property is rented. 2. The tenant is responsible for any damage caused by the removal of a trade fixture. 3. Trade fixtures that are not removed become the real property of the landlord. Characteristics of real estate economic characteristics scarcity. We usually do not consider land a rare commodity, but only a quarter of the earth's surface is dry land, the rest is water. The total available supply of land is not limitless. While a considerable amount of land remains unused or uninhabited, the supply in a given location is generally considered to be limited. Improvements. Building an improvement on one parcel of land can affect the land's value and use as well as that of neighboring tracts and whole communities. For example, constructing a new shopping center or selecting a nuclear power site or toxic waste dump can dramatically shift land values in a large area. Permanence of investment. The capital and labor used to build an improvement represent a large, fixed investment. Although even a well-built structure can be raised to make way for a newer building, improvements such as drainage, electricity, water, and sewage systems often remain. The return on such investments tends to be long-term and relatively stable. Location. This economic characteristic, sometimes called area preference or situs, does not directly refer to a geographic location, but rather to people's preferences for given areas. It is the unique quality of these preferences that results in different values for similar units. Preferential location is the most important economic characteristic of land. Physical characteristics immobility. The geographic location of any given parcel of land can never be changed. It is fixed or immobile. Some of the substances of land are removable, and that topography may shift. Indestructibility. Land also is indestructible. Because land is indestructible, land does not depreciate. Man-made improvements on land depreciate and can become obsolete, which may dramatically reduce the land's value. This gradual depreciation should not be confused with the knowledge that the economic desirability, therefore the value of a given location, can change. Uniqueness. No two parcels of land are ever exactly the same. Although they may be very similar, all parcels differ geographically because each parcel has its own location. An individual parcel has no substitute because each is unique. The uniqueness of land also is referred to as non-homogeneity. Laws affecting real estate, 7 sources of law. 1. United States Constitution. 2. Laws passed by Congress. 3. Rules of the regulatory agencies. 4. State constitutions. 5. State statutes. 6. Local ordinances. 7. Common law. The unique nature of real estate has given rise to an equally unique set of laws and rights. Even the simplest real estate transaction involves a body of complex laws. Licensees must have a clear and accurate understanding of the laws that affect real estate. The specific areas important to the real estate practitioner include: 1. Law of contracts, 2. General property law, 3. Law of agency, 4. The state's real estate license law, 5. Environmental laws, 6. Federal, state, and local tax laws, 7. State and local land use and zoning laws, 8. Environmental regulations. Illinois real estate law specific real estate laws. The practice of real estate in Illinois is governed by the Real Estate License Act of 2000 and rules established by the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. Other laws affecting real estate in Illinois may be found throughout the Illinois compiled statutes, but many of those addressing real property are in Chapter 765, ILCS. The purpose of real estate license law is to protect the public from fraud, dishonesty, and incompetence in real estate transactions. Home ownership. Ownership expenses and ability to pay. Homeownership involves many expenses, including utilities, trash removal, sewer charges, and maintenance and repairs. Owners also must pay real estate taxes and buy private mortgage insurance, and they must repay the mortgage loan with interest. This is what lenders refer to as PITI, those expenses that comprise a monthly payment. Mortgage terms. To determine whether a prospective buyer can afford a certain purchase, most lenders use automated underwriting and credit scoring. Certain costs associated with the home purchase as well as total debt could not exceed a certain percentage of monthly pre-tax income. But today, credit scores play a key role when lending institutions decide whether to lend money. Investment considerations. Purchasing a home offers several financial advantages to a buyer. 1. Possible long-term gain through appreciation. 2. Increase in equity as the mortgage is paid off. Determining seller's equity. Your home equity is your personal financial investment in your home. The seller's home equity is the market value less any mortgage balance or existing liens. Equity increases with mortgage payments. Every time the homeowner makes a payment, a portion of the payment goes to the principal amount and a portion towards the interest. The amount that goes to the principal is much smaller in the early years of the mortgage. The principal portion of the payment is what increases the equity. Equity increases with market appreciation. Home values increase as long as market conditions are healthy and the home appreciates over time. Equity increases with home improvements. Adding a bedroom, a bathroom, or any improvement that adds square footage increases equity. Tax benefits. Tax considerations may be an important part of any decision to purchase a home. Homeowners may deduct from their income 1. Some or all of the mortgage interest paid 2. Real estate taxes 3. Certain other expenses. New tax laws effective in 2019 have changed the traditional home-oriented tax benefits. A homeowner should consult with their tax preparer, accountant, or CPA to determine exactly how the new tax laws will affect their homeowner-oriented tax deductions. Capital gains tax exclusion, sale of real estate. Tax laws now exclude all or a large portion of the gain from capital gains taxes. 1. $500,000 is now excluded from capital gains tax for profits on the sale of a principal residence by married taxpayers who file jointly. 2. Taxpayers who file singly are entitled to a $250,000 exclusion. 3. The exemption may be used repeatedly, as long as the homeowners have both owned and occupied the property as their residence for at least 2 of the past 5 years. Prorated exclusion. Question: my wife and I bought a house 2 years ago, lived there for a year and one half, then moved out. We continue to own the house and currently have a rental tenant. If we decide to sell the house, is there any way we can avoid tax on a capital gain? I know that you have to live in a house for 2 years to earn the full capital gains exclusion, but I'm hoping that we can get it prorated. A. There is a provision in the tax law that gives certain taxpayers a prorated exclusion. But I don't have enough information to determine whether you qualify. To get a prorated exclusion, you would have to demonstrate that you were forced to move out of the house for a job-related or health reason. For example, your employer assigned you to another state, or you suffered a disability that compelled you to move to a milder climate or a nursing home. If that was the case, then you could claim 3/4 of the $500,000 capital gains exclusion to which a married couple is entitled. That's because you lived in the house for 3/4 of the normal 2-year minimum period. Even if those special circumstances don't apply in your case, it is not too late for you to earn the full capital gains exclusion. You can do that by moving back into the house for 6 more months. The law doesn't require that your 2-year residency be consecutive. As long as you make the house your principal residence for at least 2 of the 5 years before you sell it, you will qualify. IRA use for down payment, no penalty. First-time homebuyers may make penalty-free withdrawals from their tax-deferred individual retirement funds. 1. For down payments on their homes. 2. Withdrawals are still subject to income tax. 3. The limit on such withdrawals is $10,000. 4. They must be spent entirely within 120 days on a down payment to avoid any penalty. Exchanges. Real estate investors can defer taxation of capital gains by making property exchanges. Even property that has appreciated greatly since its initial purchase may be exchanged for other property. A property owner will incur tax liability on a sale only if additional capital or property is also received. The tax is deferred, not eliminated. Whenever the investor sells the property, the capital gain will be taxed. To qualify as a tax-deferred exchange, the properties involved must be of like kind as defined under Section 1031 of the Internal Revenue Code. The exchanged property must be a real estate of equal value and same use. Any additional capital or personal property included in the transaction to even out the value of the exchange is called boot. The IRS requires tax on the boot to be paid at the time of the exchange by the party who receives it. The value of the boot is added to the basis of the property for which it is given. Tax deferred. Exchanges are governed by strict federal requirements, and competent guidance from a tax professional is essential. Tax deductions. Homeowners may deduct from their gross income any of the following: real estate taxes, mortgage interest payments on most first and second homes, certain loan origination fees in the year of purchase, loan discount points in the year of purchase, loan prepayment penalties. Note, some costs are not allowed as tax deductions: 1. Appraisal fees, 2. Notary fees, 3. Preparation costs, 4. Mortgage insurance premiums, 5. VA funding fees. 6. Points are deductible in the year of a house purchase if certain criteria are met. 7. Points are deducted over the life of the loan for a refinance. These costs are not interest, but are part of the cost of acquiring a home. When it is sold at a later date, these charges can be figured into the cost basis. Homeowners insurance coinsurance clause. Most homeowners insurance policies contain a coinsurance clause. This provision usually requires that the owner maintain insurance equal to a specified percentage of the replacement cost of the dwelling. An owner who has this type of policy may make a claim for the full cost of the repair or replacement of the damaged property without deduction for depreciation or annual wear and tear. Examples of claim calculations. A homeowner's insurance policy is for 80% of the replacement cost of the home or $80,000. The home is valued at $100,000, and the land is valued at $40,000. The homeowner sustains $30,000 in fire damage to the house. The homeowner can make a claim for the full cost of the repair or replacement of the damaged property without a deduction for depreciation. However, if the owner has insurance of only $70,000, the claim will be handled in one of two ways. The owner will receive either actual cash value, or the claim will be prorated by dividing the percentage of replacement cost actually covered by the policy minimum coverage requirement. So, 0.70 divided by 0.80 equals 0.875, and $30,000 multiplied by 0.875 equals $26,250. Subrogation. A third party, such as an insurance company, often settles any covered insurance claim. When this happens, the third party generally acquires the right to any legal damages available to the insured. This right is called subrogation. Federal Flood Insurance Program. Homeowners insurance policies always exclude floods, so flood coverage must always be purchased as a totally separate policy. The National Flood Insurance Act of 1968 was enacted by Congress to help owners of property in flood-prone areas by subsidizing flood insurance and by taking land use and land control measures to improve future management for floodplain areas. The Army Corps of Engineers has prepared detailed maps that identify specific flood-prone areas throughout the country. To finance property with federal or federal-related mortgage loans, owners in flood-prone areas known as special flood hazard areas are required to obtain flood insurance. The Federal Emergency Management Agency administers the flood insurance program. Flood insurance policies are only issued by the government. Policies are written annually and can be purchased from the National Flood Insurance Program or the designated servicing companies in each state. Flood insurance, what's covered and what's not? FEMA defines a flood as a general and temporary condition of partial or complete inundation of 2 or more acres of normally dry land, or 2 or more properties from an overflow of inland or tidal waves, an unusual and rapid accumulation or runoff of surface waters. Mudflows or mudslides on the surface of normally dry land, or the collapse of land along the shore of a body of water. The physical damage to a building or personal property directly caused by a flood is covered by flood insurance policies. Flood policies exclude coverage for losses such as swimming pools, cars, money, animals, ground cover, or underground systems. Policies are of two types, replacement cost value or actual cost value. Deductibles and premiums vary accordingly.